Welcome to the CTOX podcast. This is the place to be if you're a technology leader navigating the fractional CTO landscape. I'm Marisa Brassfield, joined by Lior Weinstein, the visionary behind CTOX.
Here, we cut through the noise to deliver actionable insights for CTOs at every stage, whether you're looking at your first five-figure client or actively building systems to scale.
That's right. You'll learn principles, not just tactics, to transform your technical expertise into a thriving fractional practice. Let's dig in. Welcome back to the CTOX podcast. Most people go fractional when they're forced to. The best outcomes, however, happen when you choose to go fractional. Today, we're talking about one of the biggest forks in a CTO's career. Do you wait until a layoff or burnout forces you into the market, or do you transition to fractional from a position of strength and proactivity? Lior and I will share why cash confidence changes everything and how timing determines whether fractional feels empowering or terrifying. Welcome, Lior.
Thank you. This is a great conversation because it's one of these things that we learned after speaking to people with early interest in the program and then rebounding back 6 months later, a year later, a year and a half later. So we have an interesting bird's eye view on this problem.
Yes. And a lot of new members come to the CTOX Accelerator with a feeling that they've been almost forced into going fractional because of a layoff or an extended period between jobs. But when I think about it, Lior, you intentionally chose to go fractional. What's the difference here? And why does timing matter so much when making this transition?
So the context, first of all, it's a way to make money, right? A job is a way to make money. Being an entrepreneur and doing fractional work is a way to make money. We see this. Some people come with a full-time job and they go fractional to add supplemental income. Some people have a full-time job and go fractional to build an option to do this full-time and replace their income. And some people, like you suggested, are kind of quote-unquote forced into it. Now, nobody's forced into anything. Nobody's forced into a job. Nobody's forced into a business. But it's an opportunity they can make money with. And the context is, what is your environment and how can you make decisions in a healthy way? And what opportunities do you have to act on an idea when you have cash flow coming in and when you don't? For people that choose to do it early when they still have a client or a job, they don't have as much time necessarily, right? It depends on your job and so on. But they have a safety net, and that safety net gives them a psychological way to operate that is not driven by scarcity. And the difference, it's not really the model, because you can make money again as a consultant, as a fractional executive. You can make money as a part-time job, as a full-time job. But it's really what's the moment you enter into this decision? And that's really what separates people who get into it because they feel like they're forced to, and people who see this as, I am blessed to do this. This is an opportunity in the market right now. You're going to act, the same actions needs to be taken, the same behaviors needs to be applied in order to make money and get clients, but your mindset really changes your attitude and the opportunity and also eventually your success.
Right. Let's say someone has just been laid off or perhaps has a sudden exit from their longtime role. Why does urgency and specifically the need to create near-term cash flow, why does that distort your decision-making?
The challenge is that desperation makes bad clients look acceptable. You're going to look at an opportunity and this person, this company is boring, unkind, not interesting, slashes you on price, creates terms that are just unpleasant. And you might say yes, because you're going to need that money in your mind to hit, you know, whatever, let's say it's a mortgage payment or something in your life, that you really tie in this opportunity in front of you as the only way to make that happen. And that's a problem because end of the entrepreneurship, you know, we say this in the program, entrepreneurship sucks. It's like it's a classic, you know, entrepreneurs quit a 9-to-5 to work 24/7.
Right.
The payoffs though are wonderful. are great. And part of the opportunity of entrepreneurship and building your own business is choosing which clients, choosing which projects you get to work on. And when you feel like you have, like you're forced in, like you're coerced into making a decision, you're going to make projects you don't like, clients you don't like, markets you don't like, your very near-term opportunity, which might solve the cash, but it's going to create a whole slew of other problems. And certainly, sometimes when people come in, we might tactically recommend it. But if they can make a choice and not have to do something, but be in a mindset that they get to do something, it's a much better type of life you can build.
Yeah, and you speak to something important there, which is the survival kind of drive, the drive for survival versus building a long-term sustainable business, which can force you to kind of contort and compromise and say yes when future you would really mean no.
Yeah, never say it.
Let's talk about cash confidence. I know in previous episodes we have touched on cash confidence, but it really becomes important here. Why does having either a job or a savings or a great network dramatically improve outcomes when you're going fractional?
It goes back to that scarcity mindset. You know, the best time to become fractional is when you don't need the money yet, right? And we have some people that already have consulting and clients, but then it's a question of, are they starting a program like this? Are they starting to do marketing when they absolutely have to because they just lost a client and a big portion of their income or not? We talk about two different concepts. We talk about cash confidence and income confidence. Income confidence is the concept of trusting whatever money is going to come at the end of the month, right? And cash confidence is literally how much cash do you have in case you lose everything? What can you still do? Can you afford rent? Can you buy food? You know, like what kind of needs is the cash confidence satisfying? A lot of people, especially if they come from a job mindset or job experience, they look at cash and income in very similar ways. But the reality is when you're building a business, your income ceiling generally disappears. With a job, let's say you're highly qualified and you can easily land a job of like 350 base, maybe you're making another 200 or something like that in bonuses, which is great. But as a fractional CTO, there's really no limit to how much money you can make. So your cash confidence is really about what kind of risk you can take as you're building up your business. Naturally, your first client is not going to be, well, most likely not going to be $30,000 a month. You're not going to quit a full-time job and immediately replace it with a single client. Not as likely. Sometimes it does happen. That's why I'm saying likely, because we've seen it. But more importantly, you're trying to build a system that gets you clients and new sources of income. So you diversify your income with multiple clients. And you also build a system that you know how to trust in case you lose part of those clients and projects and part of that income stream. So the higher cash confidence you have, we're really describing how much risk do you feel like you can take while you're building up this business? And the more of that, which you can control with your costs, ideally, the longer runway you have. And the longer runway you have, the more opportunity you have to learn what niches do you like? What kind of clients do you like? What is your flavor of quote-unquote marketing? What is your flavor of attracting opportunities? So there's definitely a direct relationship to your stress and to your runway. Depending on how much confidence you have in the cash that you have available or accessible to you.
What would you say to somebody who's listening to this? They've got a job, they've got some income confidence, and they're thinking, okay, how do I create some more options for myself?
Well, the best time to get a new job is while you have a job. People understand this intuitively, right? You want to try to avoid that limbo period between job. And also the best time to become fractional is while you have cash confidence and not when you lost your job, you've eaten up your cash, and now you're trying to build clients from scratch. We have people that do that, but that is definitely the least ideal position to be in because we want you to be in creative mode. And if your mind is obsessed about scarcity and paying bills in a couple of weeks or in 4 weeks, your ability to be really creative is severely limited, and you have to be creative when you're building this kind of a business.
Yeah, that is definitely doing it on a hard mode, Or maybe in expert mode. And similarly, I think about, you know, testimonials, gathering testimonials before you need to, building your network before you need to. These are all like some helpful things. And it's not the same as cash in your hand, but it does create resources.
It's cash equivalent. That's why, you know, you can get paid cash, paid equity. So if you're building equity in your business with reputation and proof, you can absolutely leverage it later on to make money.
Yeah. What are the signs? What are the signs? How do you know you're ready to transition to fractional leadership proactively?
So one of them is to look at the opportunity, like the way you look at the opportunity is you're adding this entrepreneurial path, maybe again, side income, primary income, but not due to fallback, not as a risk, you know, management modality, but rather something exciting as a potential new opportunity. Those are definitely like, if you see that you have that mindset, that's a very good time to try this out. Also, if you're tired of getting hired for your time and getting paid for your time, if you realize, man, I just made a decision that saved them $1 million. Why am I just making $250 an hour or whatever it is? So once you have that insight and you realize, oh, I create value, so why not sell value? That's another really good sign. And also your comfort level. Sometimes I talk to people that want to join the accelerator and they're saying, I'm very comfortable right now. And on one hand, that is the single best time because life changes and circumstances change. On the other, it's hard for them to evoke a sense of urgency. And the way I usually talk about it with them is like, let's work on the vision. Do you want, let's say your vision is to make $800,000 a year and you want to travel. How early, how soon do you want that vision? I understand you're not stressed right now, but how soon do you want this new life vision? Because the sooner you start, the sooner you're going to get it. So just being cognizant about the fact that when you have this golden cage moment or golden handcuffs, you're going to tend to stay in it. But life is dynamic. You never actually know if you're going to lose a job, lose a contract. Something else is going to change in your life circumstance. That's why the insurance industry exists. It doesn't exist because it's phantom. It exists because life happens. And this path is a really good insurance policy against your future and to evoke your vision sooner.
That's a great point. And there's some other mindset shifts. I mean, I think about inside the CTOX Accelerator, we do our game plan call, we do our money math, and some of the first things that I hear you coach our members on who are going from this kind of W-2 thinking to fractional leadership thinking is we'll say, what do you want to make? And they'll respond in annualized terms. They'll say 350, 500. And you'll coach them to talk instead about pace. I'd love for you to talk a bit more about that. But then what are the other kind of mindset shifts that are needed? What do you need to unlearn?
Yes, very common for people when we first ask them what's their income goal, they're going to talk in annual income because it's like a job, it's a salary. So it's, you know, they would say 250, 350, 500, something like that. And what I urge them to do is tell me about your monthly income, because what we're trying to nail the system that creates it. Because you might get one account that's bangers and suddenly it pays you $30,000 a month. It happens once in a while. And then you would have achieved your goal. But once you lose that account, and it's inevitable, you will lose it because life is life. Not because you did anything wrong. It's just dynamics of life. Just like you can lose a job, you will not know how to recover and how to build back that income back to $30,000 a month. So first of all, we're trying to talk about pace because we're trying to create systems that are reliable and are recurring. So you know that you have some kind of a cycle that creates meeting and some kind of a capability that converts those meetings into money at whatever cadence you want. Maybe you want one client, new client every 2 weeks, maybe you want a new client every quarter. But whatever it is, that you collected all the skills and developed all the capabilities in order to create your target income. With that, we're trying to get people to understand as entrepreneurs, because you're creating a system, does it really matter if you hit your goal in 6 months or 9 months or 3 months or 12? Not really. Because if you hit a system goal, then you have that forever. You know, the IRS doesn't tax you on capability. And usually when you come in, that's what you're building. You're just like, I'm not a marketer. I'm not a salesperson. Everybody says that when they come in. And they're right. Mm-hmm. They're not. And we're not trying to turn it into that. We're just trying to get them to understand how to make people aware that they exist and they provide a service. That's what marketing is. And then we're trying to help them how to build trust in a way that their prospects sell themselves and not them trying to, you know, do direct response selling or sell it like a car, because they are building these relationships and they're helping people realizing their visions. And with that comes just the entrepreneurial mindset. So we say, with that concept of, does it matter if it's 6 or 9 months or 3 months? I tell them, entrepreneurs, this is a Dan Sullivan thing, entrepreneurs don't go crazy because of their goals, but because of their deadlines. And managing your emotional space as you're building up a business is very important all the time. And in that context, if they're like, I want to make $30,000 a month in 8 weeks. Why? Because I just lost my job and I just want to go back to where I was. Like, well, that's scarcity mindset. You're going to be very stressed for these 8 weeks. Maybe you'll make it, maybe you won't. But if you're building a system as opposed to just choosing a job, which is just a one source of income, does it really matter if it's 8 weeks? If it doesn't really matter in that context, let's change it to 16 weeks or 20 weeks. If that number change changes your stress relationship with the goal, then I recommend they do it so they don't go crazy. Because their goal is great, but their sense of timing might make the entire experience and their decision-making within that very challenging. So those are thinking in systems, understanding that time and stress are interconnected. And generally, numbers and stress are interconnected. So I said the same as like somebody comes in and says, I want to make $80,000 a month, and ask them why. And suddenly they don't know how to answer the question. I'm like, okay, so let's ignore the 80. Because we're trying to build a system. And once you know how to build a system, if you want to do more of that, you just activate the system. Once you have the XY relationship, just do more of X to get Y. But if they start and just say, yeah, I want to make 80,000. So they're not happy if they're making 60. They're not happy if they're making 70 because they created a gap between their vision and reality. So all of that are nuances of entrepreneurship to understand really that you want to have fun. You want to love this new opportunity with all of its challenges. And you want to make sure the payoffs are actually going to achieve your goals. And if you tie a happiness goal to that money, it's very rare that it'll actually satisfy it. Because you're gonna hit that $50,000 a month at some point, and it'll feel normal then. Just like right now in your job, whoever's listening, you're making $25,000 a month, $35,000 a month. And when you were 20, you probably thought, man, making $30,000 a month is a lot of money. And that's going to be the same mindset when you make $100,000 a month. It will always feel normal. You will always grow into it. So decoupling your emotions from your goals and your activities is very important. And all of that is just mindset. It's not practicing specific behaviors. It's not skills. It's really perspective and reframing on your life and day-to-day challenges.
Yeah, there's one more and that I think I'm thinking of right now. And some of the members that I work with most are the ones who come from cutthroat, toxic environments where it's, you know, every person for themselves, and they learn to be kind of these lone wolves. And we work together and we heal that, because the reality is this fractional lifestyle requires that you learn to be curious, collegial, ask for advice, learn on the fly, be coachable, be humble, be collegial. And for some folks, it takes a lot of unlearning based on where they've been. So for those who are listening and you know, maybe you're in a toxic work environment and you're making a list of things you never want to experience again in your bigger, better future. Very interesting reflections there too.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's because when they get a job, that's the only way they make money. So they're trying to not lose the job and adjust to all of the circumstances, all of the meetings, all of the people, all of the projects. And that's the advantages of having clients. You don't need to. In fact, if you do it right, you're going to attract clients and environments that you like all of it, and you don't need to adjust yourself at all.
Show up exactly as you are. Yeah. And beautiful. Well, for someone who is, let's say, currently employed and curious about fractional, what are some of the first moves they should make?
So we say in the accelerator, you're not going to get any contracts without any conversation and without any proposals. You're not going to make any proposals without any conversations, and you're not going to have any conversations without any contacts. So contact someone. Start a conversation. You don't need to go for the jugular and try to hit a $10,000 a month retainer, right? Try to sell a session. Try to sell a half day. Try to sell some advisory, low ticket, $3,000 a month. We have plenty of free resources in other podcasts. We have menu guides on our website. We host free webinars as well. But all of those lead you to try to have a conversation. Even this week, we had people in our accelerator that were in like their church barbecue and got a client. And they built trust by sharing a burger. You know, there's just so much obsession about, oh, I need to know about AI, and I need to know how to sell, and I need to have an LLC. None of these things are true. They're all fallacies. What you need to is find somebody that needs help. And then you want to help them. And if you can, the best way, help them by them paying you. But even if not, go help them. It'll give you a sense of how to create value outside of your job. Now, if you're already forced, slow down, protect your boundaries, and try to rebuild some leverage before you scale effort, because you don't want to find yourself in a doctor cut the car moment. You're going to try to get this client, you're going to get the client, and you're going to hate 100% of it. If you really have to, because you do need to hit your mortgage payment in 2 weeks, totally get it, and that's completely fair. But in most cases, that's not the case where people start off. So be mindful that end of the day, this work is about creating value to other people. So to try it out, you need to find other people and give them value. And once you do that enough time, or you get enough value, you also give a price. And once you give a price more than once, then you're in business.
I love it. If this episode helped you rethink timing and leverage, share it with someone who's considering going fractional before circumstances force their hand. Lior, as always, I love when we get together.
I know. I'll see you next time. I hope this episode was valuable to anyone who's on the fence.
See you soon.
That wraps up another episode of the CTOX podcast. We hope today's conversation gave you the tools and inspiration to advance your journey as a fractional CTO.
And don't forget, if you want more in-depth support or to connect with our community of fellow fractional CTOs, visit us at ctox.com.
Thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you next time on the CTOX podcast.